This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Eric DaCosta, John Harbaugh spoke at the Combine today. Orioles came back to win in Sarasota against the Tigers. It's the perfect time to head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, where our friend Rita Hubbard joins us like she does every Tuesday. And Rita, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So you've had a little time to marinate over what EDC and Harb said about their kicker, Justin Tucker. What did you think about what they had to say?
Nothing. I don't think nothing. I mean, all I heard was, yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, that's a good question. but ultimately, they didn't say anything that, you know, we didn't expect them to say. I think for me, the weirdest thing that I got from that was allegedly, you know, Harbaugh saying that he found out that there was a story coming out. And obviously, I'm paraphrasing, but he didn't find out what the story was until it actually came out. Now, you know everything else that goes on, yeah, but you decided to just hold a blind eye to something that was going on with one of your players on your football team. I know I was born at night, y'all. I don't even think I was born at night, so I'm not going to even say that. I was born in the morning. I was born at 6 o'clock in the morning. So you know how people say they be woke. I was woke, okay? All I know is I smelled boo-boo in that response. And yeah, I want to say what I want to say, but you know, I don't want to get anybody in trouble around here. So I got to use boo-boo. I got to use boo-boo instead. Yeah. That was the worst excuse I've ever heard in my entire life. So my favorite thing is just that, you know, oh yeah, this is disturbing and all of these things, but y'all had a lot to say about people that didn't belong on your team. So I just want that same energy. That's all.
I just want to throw out there that I was born on Easter Sunday, April 14th, 1974. April 14th. Easter has never fallen on my birthday since in 51 years. And wow. And Rita, I'm not falling for the okie doke either. So I don't know if I was born at night or in the morning. I don't remember, but it was Easter Sunday. And I'm with you. I'm Team Rita. All right, go ahead, Bone.
I don't know that you could possibly remember what time of day you were born.
But not from remembrance, but from people telling me over
didn't
the
Jim
years.
Jim Harbaugh tell
yes.
Justin Herbert?
Yeah.
You ask questions. You just ask questions. You ask somebody.
Right.
When you were born, and they give you an answer. I asked my mama when I was born.
There you go.
You know? So there it was.
I don't think my mom remembered when I was born when I asked her. But anyways, Rita, Ronnie Stanley.
Sounds like he's back.
That part was surprising to me, how confident that Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh were in talks about Stanley possibly coming back to Baltimore when we thought it was going to be the opposite a month ago when they had the season-ending presser.
I've always felt like that there was an opportunity. I've always felt like, you know, if it ended the way that I think both sides wanted it to be, that there could be a thing. Because at the end of the day, there's a comfortability aspect between both the player and the organization. You know, Ronnie Stanley probably wants to dip his toe into free agency. But at the end of the day, if you're getting similar deals from other teams? Do you really want to uproot yourself from a situation that you've been in essentially since you've been a pro in the National Football League? Do you really want to go somewhere that you don't know what the direction of what that team is going? Because at the end of the day, when you have a guy that you play with like Lamar Jackson, you're going to be in every game every single week. So do you want the opportunity to win the Super Bowl, or do unless you're going to a place like Kansas City or, the Dallas. I mean, I'm about to say Dallas.
No,
I
not
didn't
Dallas.
Say Dallas. I didn't mean Dallas. Maybe
Buffalo. I mean, they don't need a left tackle, but yeah.
No, but that's why I said San Francisco, because I think that they'll potentially be dealing with stuff there. Do you really want to say, I want to start fresh and go to places that, you know, you think have – a winning pedigree, but you know, injuries can always change that. So I always was optimistic. And then when he said what he said, I think it reiterated that I think that both sides potentially want to stay together. And that's really what you want, because Ronnie Stanley is a consistent, good football player, a great football player when he's healthy. And obviously I say good because I think the health has been an issue, but when he's been 100%, he's been outstanding. And so I hope that they have that opportunity, because it's hard finding a left tackle out here, man. Mm. It's not easy. And so hopefully for them, they can repair that relationship and make that work.
It's like Bone looking for a glue girl.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
tough in these streets, Rita.
I don't know about you, but it sounded to us like EDC might not be throwing his arms around Mark Andrews, that $4 million Lumen roster bonus and the potential to trade him and pay some other people in that tight end room. I don't know. He was using a lot of past tense syntax about Mark Andrews.
He'll take with him the memories, be the sunshine after the rain.
I think that's over.
Yeah.
I think that's over. I put it at $11 million they could potentially save. I think it's over. I think he started talking about Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
He started talking about Ring of Honor, guys, when we know that somebody
they're putting you out the pasture.
Basically, they're like, you know, you were such a great. We starting to talk in past tense.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So when you start talking in past tense, you know what that means. That means somebody's about to move on, and it has nothing to do with the last memories that we have of him. Although it is unfortunate that he's probably not going to have an opportunity to make up for that. With the fumble and the, drop two-point conversion, because Mark Andrews is still a very good football player. But also the Ravens have a cap situation, and they need to figure it out. And unfortunately, he helps them in a big way if they move him. So I think I saw somebody, I want to say it was Ravens salary cap, who we've had on our show, Glenn and I. And I think they did a comparison of like Hockenson when he got moved. And I think that they got three mid-round picks for Hockenson. And I think that if you can get that from Andrews.
Hockenson was way younger, though.
Yeah.
He was still on his rookie deal.
Two. Okay, give me two. Give me two. Because what we're not going to do is act like Mark Andrews is not two fours. He's not working
four.
Four. Just one four?
I think so.
Yeah, Hockenson was much younger when that deal was made.
Come on. Mark Andrews literally led the league in touchdowns and the Titans. Just
and MVP
year.
Quarterback.
That man didn't win, unfortunately.
Well, he won here. he won here. We have our own
JLC
roles here.
MVP.
Otani was the American League MVP 2 years ago.
Just to clarify, TJ Hockenson was 25 years old
right.
when he was
he
traded.
He was on his rookie deal.
Yeah, Mark Andrews is 30.
Yeah, guess what? And at the end of the day, Mark Andrews still was playing better than TJ Hockenson right now. So I don't know what you want me to do with that. I'm not suggesting he's going to get three, but I'm suggesting that you're going to get a nice, I think, you're not going to get no fifth or no sixth round pick with Mark Andrews. That's what I don't think. And I feel highly confident in saying that. I feel like you could get a good pick for Mark Andrews. And maybe if you fleece somebody, too. That's where I stand with that, and that's where it goes. But it would be interesting.
Stand on your business.
I'm always standing on
my business. Me too, Rita. Get you in trouble sometimes.
I watched the rookie kicker get traded for a fifth-round pick. If that can happen, anything can happen. Y'all can't tell me that there ain't a higher power out here after you've seen something like that.
That's
so
true.
Kara Vidovic.
Lightning don't strike twice.
Sometimes it does.
we're talking with Rita Hubbard. It's Inside Access here on the Fan. Rita, Orioles comeback win today in Sarasota. Is the Oriole magic starting to flow yet?
Ruby's got them playing great ball.
Jim, please. Spring training.
Four-run rally.
That's all we got, Rita.
We're just trying to figure it out here, man. We just trying to see who. Look, they out here trying to figure out what pitches they going to use, what bats they going, you know, what swings they going to use. But look, it's cool to start getting excited about baseball. I'm not taking the joy away. I'm just saying that for me, this is just like how I watch preseason, where I'm just like watching to see, you know, what people got going on. Are people trying to do something new? Is it working? Is it not working? So, good for them. I'm happy for them, but no, it does nothing to change my excitement about opening day, because I am excited about opening day. I do want to say that I'm starting to push the off season behind me. I had to give myself a conversation and say, listen, the season's not over. You also have the trade deadline, which even though, Jason, you and I have not really been fans of, they are active.
I'm not allowed to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. That's an inside joke. That's an inside joke.
Hey, I'm mostly punished. Kidding. Okay. You got punished. Okay. Well, we can't talk about it today. So Ken and Tim,
sorry, I'll bounce back, Rita. You can't keep me down.
Rita, when are you and Glenn on again?
I don't know, friend. I think Sunday. Sunday. But then we'll be back next Tuesday.
Yeah.
So then we can finish Scamanda. Because that is done.
Oh, I finished
it.
Yeah.
So we got to talk about it. We got to talk about Scamanda.
She's a horrible human being.
Terrible. I want her under the jail.
Yeah, under the jail. Rita, thanks. We'll talk next week. We appreciate you.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, Northern Exposure coming up next. We know Eric DaCosta spoke, but so did Omar Khan, the GM of the Steelers, Andrew Berry, GM of the Rounds, and Duke Tobin, who essentially is the GM of the Bengals.
He works for Joe Burrow.
Yes, he works at the pleasure of the quarterback. We'll hear from them next here on the Fan.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As much as I can, you know, the reality is last year we went into this understanding that we had 3 quarterbacks in the last year of their deal. And, you know, here we are till we get one of those guys or 2 of those guys or some combination of them signed up. You know, all options are on the table. Had conversations with both Russ's people and Justin's representatives. And, you know, with that, you know, we'll see where it goes and, you know, open up to any questions.
That's Omar Khan, the GM of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I said a year ago, when you have 2 quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks. And right now, they literally have no quarterbacks. Yeah. And it sounds like they'd like to bring back one of the 2 guys that they had a year ago. What is going on at the quarterback position in Pittsburgh, Jason?
Look, I think they're open to anything. I think there are people in that building who might have reached out to the Seahawks and seen what it would take to get Geno. And now all of a sudden you're hearing Geno talking extension with the Seahawks. I think they're clearly keeping an eye on the Stafford situation. I think Sam Darnold's somebody who at the right price point could make sense. But right now there's 2 guys that they can talk about out loud because we're still, I guess, somewhat in the pre-tampering period. Like, and that's the guys who played for them this year. Will they bring one of them back? I think it's possible, but I don't get the sense that it's exclusive to those 2. Like, they need to upgrade their offense. They need to have a more high-octane offense. I don't know where Matt Stafford is at this part of his life now, going from Detroit to Malibu. I'm not sure if he wants to go back to a Rust Belt city.
And he's never played for a team that played outdoors before. Like, Detroit was a dome. Rams are dome.
But he'd play at Lambeau every year.
Yeah, I know, but like his home games.
But yeah. But I also know at this stage of his career, if he wants to go somewhere and have a chance to play in the playoffs, and you look at the teams that need quarterbacks, outside of Pittsburgh, I don't know who is a Matt Stafford away. Like, Tennessee ain't making the playoffs with Matt Stafford. The Raiders aren't making the playoffs just with Matt Stafford. The Giants are not making the playoffs with Matt Stafford. Although they've got interesting pieces on offense.
Are the Steelers a Matt Stafford away from competing for a Super Bowl? I don't think they're a Matt Stafford away.
They went to the playoffs this year with 2 quarterbacks. Super Bowl. How about compared to these other teams? How about at least?
Oh, for sure.
But if you get in, anything can happen. But they're going to add wide receivers.
But I think it's delusional if the Steelers think the defense was in shambles down the stretch. Their wide receiving core is a 5 and below store. They need a lot more than just a quarterback in Pittsburgh. And
they got to figure out the running game too.
Because here's the thing: you're just continuing the mediocrity cycle. They just need to go all in on a rebuild, I think.
Steelers don't do that.
They tried Pickett. I mean, they tried the Pickett thing a couple years ago.
Yeah, and that was a failure.
They traded him after 2 years.
Ozzie Newsome left the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson, Kevin Colbert left the Pittsburgh Steelers. Kenny Pickett.
It's very similar.
I mean, that's they're in the same division. That's a big hole to dig out.
To your point, there is a radio host in Pittsburgh that said that Kenny Pickett would be better than Lamar Jackson.
He says a lot of crazy things.
Yeah, so you want to go to Andrew Berry?
Of course.
And he's the GM of the Browns, and he says they don't want to trade Myles Garrett.
So Miles, as you guys have all heard me say, he's a huge part of our organization, a really good person. He's an awesome player. Understand the trade request and everything, but our stance really has not changed. You know, we can't imagine a situation where not having Miles as a part of the organization is best for the Browns. So I just want to hit that off the top. Mm.
Preemptive strike.
Yeah. Well,
I can't imagine the situation where Myles Garrett's playing football for them next year.
Yeah, Myles Garrett, I'm sure, was swayed by that statement from Andrew Berry.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's got a price. And at some point, it's going to be clear that not having Myles Garrett around for whatever chunk of the season is a less amenable scenario to getting those two first-round picks and getting them before this draft so you can turn it into players.
That's what I was going to add. Do you expect him to be dealt before the draft, get the picks? Yeah.
That's what makes sense because you want to use those picks right away.
100%.
Duke Tobin just spoke about an hour ago. We do have a Duke Tobin cut. I think this is Ben, give me a thumbs up on this. This is him saying he's on the same page as Joe Burrow.
He better be.
The cap? Yes.
Yeah, T. Higgins. Seems like 3, 4, or 5 years I've been talking about T. I think you guys all know what I feel about T. Higgins. I think T. Higgins is a fantastic football player, and I want him on my football team. Whenever I'm in charge of a football team, I want T. Higgins. And so I'm going to do what I can to get T. Higgins. Our preference with T. Higgins is to do a long-term agreement. Always has been. It continues to be. And we'll work hard to get that done. You know, we are fortunate. We've got a lot of really good football players, fantastic football players, and we're fortunate to be in a position to where we can fit them all in. And we've managed our cap well. We've got low dead money. We want a high payroll and low dead money so the people that are in Cincinnati playing for us can get all the money. That's what we want. And we're in a position to re-sign these guys. And it's a good position to be in. It really is. And we're going to attack it. And hopefully, we don't want to just re-sign these guys and pay more for the same football team we had last year. We want to add to it as well. So we want to re-sign these guys, reward them for their ability level, and add to the football team. So it's a tall task. We think we're up to it, and Katie's got us in position to attack it well.
Well, it's good that
Katie's Katie Blackburn, Mike Brown's daughter,
who basically runs the team.
Yeah.
And you know, he said the cap position. Well, capologist Joe Burrow made them aware.
He got his marching orders and his bullet points from Joe Burrow.
I did read Duke Tobin says they're going to make Ja'Marr Chase the highest paid non-quarterback in football.
Well, they got no choice.
Yes. And they want to re-sign T. Higgins.
I'm old enough to remember a week ago where there were all these useful idiots telling you it's a done deal. T. Higgins is getting franchise tag.
Yes.
We're now a week away. Everybody's in Indianapolis. Have they doubled back down on that, or is that when they're just pretending it never happened? Because I remember coming in and you guys asking me, what do you think about all these reports that T. Higgins isn't leaving town? I said, really? This is right now, they're the only team that can talk to T. Higgins. If you're T. Higgins, why would you do anything with them until you could full-blown go into the market?
Full-blown.
And if you're them and you preclude him from going to the market again, and you're paying him 30 before you even start really talking to Ja'Marr Chase, and these other middling receivers are getting 28 to 30. How are you really keeping them both? And if the guy was willing to play it out last year and he plays it out again, you've only got him for one more year and he's completely gone. You're not tagging him three times. No. How are you not turning him into something?
It would make sense.
Even just let's go take that money and put it into somebody who's going to be here for more than 16 more games.
But what does quarterback/capologist Joe Burrow have to say?
He's in the here and now.
Yes, he doesn't care about those things.
I'm just not sure that's where Katie is.
Yeah.
Tobin said they want a high payroll. They got the low dead cap.
Hey, they well,
Tobin said a lot of things.
Well, here's the problem. They've been bamboozling the team for years. They got no money. Yeah. And then Joe Burrow probably took cap for dummies and saw they had a bunch of room on their cap. And so now they got to act like they can spend some money. They're like, ooh, our quarterback figured it out.
You know what we got to do? We got to get Joe Burrow to tell us how he would redo the Ravens cap.
Oh,
AI Joe Burrow talking about his offseason plan for how the Baltimore Ravens could actually spend more money than Bisciotti would ever let you believe.
That would be good. It's an assignment for the Bone Simulator. Coming up next, another edition of Bounce Back, Fall Back, Goofy Questions. We give answers. It's next here on The Fan.
Let's look back to last week. Those Towson Tigers taking on those fighting camels. Towson holds Campbell under 65 points. They did not.
Yeah.
Campbell they scored the 67. Game, they did win the game. Both of you guys bounced back. Jason, you thought they'd hold the humps under to 60.
Can't hold down them humps.
Can't hold down those humps. Someone other than Tyler Tejada is the Tigers' leading scorer.
It was
well,
May.
It was. Christian May. Christian May. And Jason, you bounced back.
I said Solomon.
Ken, you fell back.
Uh-huh.
Jonathan Lamoth hits at least three threes against Stony Brook. He did not. 1-3. Did have 23
he had 20
points.
20-10 again.
And 11 rebounds. Yes.
Both, every damn game.
Both of you guys bounced back. Jason, you said 25 and 13. Four threes. Morgan beats Howard. Howard won. 87 to 81. Jason, you fell back.
Thank God.
Ken, you bounced back. Caleb Swanton Roger gets at least five rebounds. He had eight. Jason, you bounced back. You believed in the Cowboy.
The Cowboy is a man.
You thought he had nine rebounds. Ken, you fell back.
I think ties are over.
He had eight rebounds, 2 points, three assists, two blocks, and a steal.
He likes to fill up that sheet.
Jason 3, Ken nothing. And, well, I guess I'd give you the pity point of I did ask if Jason would have the best sleep on a weekend ever with a new mattress.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
The zero gravity setting. Mm. Chef's kiss. Put a little bit of the fans on there and the Tempur-Pedic Active Breeze. Seriously, Mattress Warehouse, they'll hook you up. Tell them I sent you.
Yeah. Let's get to this week.
They like me there.
Jason, we'll start with you.
Towson has clinched the CAA, by the way.
Yes, they have.
They've clinched the regular season title. They've clinched the number one seed in the CAA conference tournament. And if you're out there Thursday against William & Mary, say hi. I'll be there with Sharky.
Michigan State has not allowed 70 points to its opponent during their three-game winning streak. They've not allowed 75 points in a game since January 19th against Illinois. We have Matt Norlander on, who covers college basketball for CBS Sports. He thought first to 80 would win. Terps score 75 points or more tomorrow. Jason.
Sparty allows 66.7 points per game in conference. That is far and away best in the Big Ten. You're saying 75?
Yes. They have not given up 75 points since January 19th.
Yeah. Bone, I'm going to say a 77.
That's a bounce back 70 for those at home.
Four Terps win.
77-74, Ken.
I think they hit 80, Bone.
Oh.
I'm bouncing back.
Roddy Rice led the team in scoring against USC. He leads the team in scoring again tomorrow, Ken.
See, I'm gonna lean on what Matt Norlander said earlier. I could see a Juju big performance. Juju. I'm going to say Juju leads the team in scoring. So that's a fallback.
That is a fallback for those at home.
Jason. Well, I mean, the way you've set this up, I mean, it's 4-1.
Yeah. So it's either Rice or the field.
I mean, it's really only five guys. I mean, right? The starters are the only ones who
score.
You're
not picking Jordan Geronimo?
It's 4-1. And I was thinking the same thing that my fine feathered friend was thinking about Juju being in a position to get this done. But you also, you never keep Selt Miguel down. Especially not in a big game like this.
So, he's lived a lot of big Miguel games.
Leads. I'm going to say Selt Miguel with 22 leads all scorers.
22 points. Wow.
Five threes.
Wow. Five. Jeez.
All right. Write it down, Bone.
Five threes. Okay. Mentioned earlier.
He's going to get the bump. We're going to be there.
Yeah. That's right.
Mentioned earlier, Michigan State doesn't shoot many threes and doesn't shoot threes well. Well, they defend the three extremely well. Eighth best
in the
eighth
best in the country. Opponents shoot just 29% from beyond the arc. The Terps shoot at least their average, season average of 37.5% from three tomorrow. Jason.
I don't know where they're going to set this number for this over-under, and I've been riding Terps overs. I don't know that I'm going under on this one, but I'm probably not going over. I like Matt Norlander a lot. I think highly of what he says, but I don't know if this is a race to 80. I think it might be a race to 75. And I think it could be a lot of twos. I think it could be a lot of I think this is an old-school game. I think it could be a lot of foul shots. And if I got Selt Miguel going off, I don't know that anybody else is going off. He might be like the forgotten man. So I'm going to say that this, what do you want, a percentage?
Are they gonna shoot over, at least their season average, 37.5%.
They're going to shoot 32%.
Oh, that's a fallback.
Bone, I got some questions for you. Is this a home game tomorrow?
This is a home game.
Are we doing the show from the Maryland Club tomorrow, therefore giving them the IA bump?
Yes.
Is this a sold-out crowd tomorrow?
It is, and it's a stripe-out.
It is a stripe-out, correct?
It is a stripe-out.
They're going to hit at least their average.
What's stripe-out? Why am I?
Some red section, some black.
Yeah. You got to look at the seating chart.
Yes. Gotcha.
Michigan State is plus 9.4 in rebounding differential. One of the best in the nation, I believe third. Terps will at least hold them to under that at plus 5.
Okay. I'm confused by the question.
He's saying that Terps will be within 5 total rebounds.
Okay, yes. Of Michigan
the
State.
The Michiganders.
Well, they got two studs who get double-doubles. I'm going to bounce back on that.
Who's the rebounding bounce?
I'll get within 5.
Bone? Maryland will out-rebound Sparty by 2.
Ooh! That's a tasty meatball.
Rebound Sparty by 2. All right, to the Cowboy.
Thank God.
Caleb Swan.
Why are you burying the lead? I think, not to tell you how to do your segment, but I think that we should always lead with
Cowboy. The Cowboy.
He records multiple assists for a third straight game against Marshall tonight.
The Hurt, Thundering Hurt.
What kind of defense does Marshall play? I don't know about ODU. You got to, you can't get an assist if nobody's making their shots, Bone.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, there's only so much that the Cowboy can do. I mean, he can't pass to himself. They don't let him throw balls up. He can't throw alley oops to himself, Bone.
They're not playing St. John's, Jason.
Nah, but still, they're ODU. Bone, I'm going to say he has one assist.
It's fallback.
I did not believe in the Cowboy last edition about that fallback.
Made
fallback.
You a loser.
Yeah, so I'm going to believe in the Cowboy. That's a bounce back.
Let's get a couple NBA tonight. Lakers taking on the Mavs. Lakers 9.5-point favorites tonight. Can they cover that spread? Bounce back or fallback?
Lakers playing good basketball of late. I think Luka wants to show his old friends. I think they run away with this one. I'm going to bounce back.
Played this at 4.5 2 days ago.
Mm.
You could have got it at 7 last night. Keeps going up.
It did.
9.5, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I say they beat the hell out of them. I say they win by 12 or more.
Win by 12 or more. And
like they're up by 20-something late, and then,
garbage time.
Yeah, like Clay 20. Stays in to pad his numbers, hits a through a few meaningless threes.
Clay stays in, hits meaningless threes. Okay, and last one. Luka, his over-under point total, 31.
Wowzers.
And
wow, that's a big number.
Wow. 31. And a half.
Now that's a spicy meatball.
Jason, bounce back, fall back.
Jiminy Christmas. He has one good game as a Laker from a scoring
standpoint. It was 28.5 last night.
It's gone up from 28.5?
31.5 when I checked this morning.
I'm going to say 29.
That's a fallback.
Yeah, I see, that's a lot of I'm falling back on that as well. That's too many damn points. Hey, Kevin Willard. He's getting his team ready. They take on Michigan State tomorrow. We're going to be there broadcasting live from the Maryland Club. He had his coach's show last night. We're going to hear from Coach Willard next here on The Fan.
These guys have really worked hard, and everyone's kind of sacrificed some sort of role that they've had, and it's good to see them get rewarded.
That was Kevin Willard last night on the coach's show, heard right here on 105.7 The Fan, talking about the Terps being number 16 in the country in the latest poll. And we had Matt Norlander on the show earlier today, covers college basketball for CBS Sports. He thinks they're going to end up on the 4 line. It's quite an ascent for Maryland basketball this year, and they've earned it.
Look, we dreamed big when we heard about the moves they were making outside of the program, and the Queen commit was something that got everybody's attention right away. And even the way they handled the exodus of some of the kids who had to leave to make some room and some of the tough decisions they had to make, we all thought that the basketball operations was headed in a much better direction than they found themselves a year ago. And so we started thinking, is Sweet 16 possible? And we had Jimmy Sunshine in very early in the process, and he said, I think it's a Sweet 16 program. And they got off to a great start, and then they hit some rocky times on the road, and we wondered if they had geared themselves up to face that level of competition because they did play a bit of a cupcake schedule. And then we took a step back and said, hey, let's just get in the tournament. And since that Pacific Northwest trip, they have been on a steady climb. There's only a couple of hiccups since then, both self-inflicted. We could be talking about a team that's won like 10 straight in the Big Ten. We're a couple possessions removed from talking about a team going for like, what, win number 11 in a row against Sparty. So, yeah, we're dreaming big. We're dreaming about all three weekends of the tournament.
Yeah, expectations ebb and flow throughout a season. And going back to that trip West Coast, where you start the season 1-3 in the Big Ten, and we were broadcasting ahead of the UCLA game, and that felt like a pivotal moment for this team, where if they were to lose that game and Mick Cronin doesn't lose his mind and get teed up and UCLA wins that game, who knows how this Maryland season goes. It felt like it was teetering at that point, but for them to get off the mat, be able to gel into this cohesive group right now where, what is it, 2-3 straight games where all five starters have scored in double-digit points. They're just firing on all cylinders ahead of Wednesday.
More from Kevin Willard from last night's coaches show, heard right here on 105.7 The Fan. He talks about getting the most out of the portal this past offseason.
Starting in middle of January, probably end of January of last year, I really started just kind of really focusing on how I wanted to play with Derek and Jew. And, you know, we had two or three transfers that wanted to come and play here, who wanted to come home, who wanted to play at Maryland. But, you know, statistically, they just didn't fit what we had and what we were trying to do and how I wanted to play. And so it was, you know, really starting, you know, probably in late January, we really started building what we wanted to do and how we wanted to do it. We did a lot of analytics. We did a lot of personality things. And then when the portal opened and we saw who was going to be in the portal, we were extremely aggressive.
And you got to give Kevin Willard credit. He realized that the Jamie Kaiser DHS all young thing did not work, needed to get shooting, and he went out and got you. Well, and Derek Green helps as well as the super freshman. But the three guys, the main three guys that got out of the portal, aces.
He's on record saying we weren't spending any of our NIL money on you unless you could shoot the ball. You had to help us score the ball. You had to help us score the ball from quadrants of the court where it was a black hole last year from a distance shooting perspective. You had to bring he's always going to demand defensive intensity. Like he I don't think people are thinking of Kevin Willard as like a guy at the absolute vanguard of offensive basketball, right? I mean, he's made his bread and butter defending the goal, but like he had to have a diversification of offensive skill sets to make this thing hum at a level that it was going to require. And they crushed it.
I also go back to him on Big Ten Media Day, talk about how there was a lot more NIL available this year and getting the commitment from the school to go out and bring in this basically brand new starting five as well.
I'm impressed that he saw the deficiency and he said, you know what? I got to fix it. And he went out and Selton Miguel, Jacoby Gillespie, Rodney Rice, they fixed said deficiency. More from Kevin Willard. His opponent tomorrow is Michigan State, and he talks about their journey to the top of the conference.
Ever since they lost to Indiana, they beat Purdue pretty easily, really dominated Michigan the other night, won at Illinois. So, again, this is a team that's won three in a row and three really, really tough games. And, you know, the Wisconsin losing the other night at home to Oregon was huge because I really thought Wisconsin had a pretty good track to get on top of the conference. So it's kind of how a team with a conference with 18 teams kind of stands is you're going to have a whole lot of movement in the last 2 weeks of the season.
And that's what we've seen. And by the way, Michigan State's part of this run was they were getting blown out by Oregon at home and then erased that lead like the first 4 minutes of the second half and ended up running away with that game. And Jace Richardson went off in that. Of course, Jason Richardson's kid who's at Michigan State now.
Are we think? Is this going to stay at 18? Like for a while? Like God, 18 teams? Just, I hear.
Well,
that.
Who else
like,
they going to add?
I you tell me. I don't know, Ben. Like, I'm not. That's not my domain. But like, is this it? Like, please. I hope it's it.
I think there's nothing left.
You could always plunder Iowa State or whatever. What do you mean? There's nothing.
Well,
left?
The Big 12 seems to be pretty solid.
Well, I'm
though.
Just thinking of like I don't know.
Like I did see a report yesterday, and Ben, you probably saw this that there's some people talking about combining the Big East and the ACC. Now, if somebody gets left out in the cold on that, maybe the Big Ten scoops them up, but I don't
like they couldn't pluck Gonzaga and try to have another team, so when you go out there...
They don't play football, though.
So?
Gonzaga, I think, will be in the Big 12 pretty soon. But I saw the point about the ACC Big East. I saw that, and it just makes me so mad, because if the Terps were in the ACC right now, they'd be a top 10 team in the country. The ACC is horrible. That's
yes.
why. That's why this has come up. This would have never been talked about if the ACC hadn't had such a bad year. But because their conference is a joke right now, now they want to combine those two conferences.
But to your point, Jason, it's gotten ridiculous.
I hope this is it, but I don't know where the bloodlust ends.
Yeah. Does Gonzaga, as essentially a basketball only school, help the Big Ten? Like that? That's the question. Now, Big 12. That's interesting. That's interesting.
Don't you like the commercial on the Big Ten where
they show
you go every
all
country.
Over the world? I want to live forever. I like that. I don't know.
I like
what
the
song
commercial
is,
too.
Mattia loves that song.
The Big Ten tournament, and it's continued to expand.
Yeah. Every time that commercial comes on, I'm like, I'm not changing the channel because I want to hear the damn song.
Wait till the University of Rome is added to the Big Ten,
and hopefully they keep that one forever. Hopefully that lives forever, like Keegan Aiken Orioles classic in the damn heights of COVID.
Hands up,
let it live forever.
Coming up next, Purple Rain in the forecast. And
I don't think we're getting new promos.
Yeah,
at Massive,
John Harbaugh, Eric DaCosta met with the media. We'll hear Harp's thoughts on the kicking situation. Then Eric DaCosta, he gave some pretty interesting thoughts on both Ronnie Stanley staying and Mark Andrews possibly leaving. You'll hear for yourself next here on The Fan.